Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links, please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Thank you. Good morning, church. What a joy it is to be in the assembly of our God and King. I'd like to welcome each one of you who have come to be with us. It is such a beautiful day. I tell you what, I really enjoyed that last song. That's such an encouragement as I come up here to deliver God's word from His holy Bible. And I really was blessed by our singing service this morning. We need to practice that first song just a little bit more. That's one of the most beautiful songs written in church history, over 1,000 tongues to sing. And we need to maybe Google that and work on that, and we can come back together and see if we can do a little bit better there. Let us prepare our minds to hear God's word and do that by approaching His throne in prayer. Father, we thank You for this indescribable privilege to call on Your name, to ask from You that You would give us grace and help and mercy. Father, please look down upon this congregation. See us, see our needs. Have mercy on us, forgive us of our sins, Father, and give us great encouragement. Father, the world is dark and full of temptation and sin and misery, but Father, we come here to fix our eyes on the beauty of our God and King. We come to look into Your perfect law of liberty. Father, bless this congregation. Help us to be like Jesus Christ. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Give us power, Lord, and help us on our journey to heaven. Father, give me grace to explain and to proclaim Your word. All these things we ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be looking at Romans, the 12th chapter, and I'll be reading verses 3 through 8. That is Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Join with me as we begin in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. I want you to consider a football coach or a recruiter as they seek to build a team. They are looking for a variety of different types of players that bring different things to the table. They're looking for speed and for size, those who can throw and those who can kick, those who can catch the football, those who can tackle, and all of these talents come together to create a team. Also consider a man of industry, a man of business expertise. This person has the ability to structure a company in order that it might be highly productive. The business model is crucial in whether or not a company will succeed. And so consider this example. There are two companies that look almost identical. They're the same size, they have the same number of employees, yet in the course of 10 years, one company stays the same while the other grows at an alarming rate. What I want you to understand is that these two companies were identical 10 years ago. They were the same in every way, and both had the same potential. But one outperformed the other. Why? I want to suggest to you that one had a model which allowed for creativity, innovation, expansion, and productivity, while the other company was held back. Something was wrong. Something was misaligned. Something was keeping it from reaching its full potential. While the church is not a football team or a business, there are similarities. There are churches that are spiritually successful, and there are those that flatline. The Lord's will is explicit. He desires that we bear much fruit, showing ourselves to be His disciples. It is the Lord's desire to open the windows of heaven that righteousness might rain down and flood the earth with His glory. This is His will. He desires the church to bear much fruit. However, there are practical and biblical principles that must be adhered to if we are to thrive in the kingdom of God. Consider these questions. What holds the body of Christ back? What keeps us from being effective? What prevents the church from making strides and progress? I believe our text this morning, in some measure, answers these questions, as well as gives a glorious image of a church that is thriving and working in unity. Let's look at our first verse this morning, beginning in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And so verse 3 should be interpreted through the lens of verse 6, according to New Testament scholar F.F. Bruce. And so jumping down to verse 6, I want to read that for us. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And so the measure of faith that Paul is speaking of, that God has assigned to each member of the body of Christ, it refers to the individual Christian's spiritual giftedness that has been received by Jesus to fulfill their role in the body of Christ. And so Paul warns Christians of thinking too highly of themselves. He perceives that conceitedness and a warped view of the church as a serious concern. This message is priceless to us, and our ability to hear these words will lead to the success or the failure of Christ's church. And so think once more about that football team. And I'm sure you can probably think of specific examples, but many times the quarterback begins to think that he's a hot shot and that he doesn't need the other players on the team. Or maybe the receiver thinks that he's just so wonderful and amazing and he's carrying the team. Or maybe sometimes you have the running back that he begins to become puffed up with ego, and he forgets that it's the offensive linemen that make the hole that he's able to run through. And so not only must we be humble with our calling, but sometimes when we consider our calling, and so let me start here. And so this high thinking of oneself, based on the context, clearly refers to a misunderstanding of one's abilities. Consider this. It is possible to think that you can do something that you have not been given the grace to do. It would be like a foot that thinks that he has the ability to do the work of a hand. It would be like eyes attempting to perform the function of ears. It is to attempt to serve in the body of Christ beyond the grace which Christ has given you. This can be the result of pride or of ignorance or the combination of the two, both being destructive in the affairs of the church. Both provide an open door by which the devil can hinder the work of the church. And let me point out a few scriptures that help to highlight this principle. Hebrews 5, verse 4, the apostle speaks these words in regard to the Old Testament priesthood. He says, "And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was." And so we don't give orders to heaven, but Christ, the head of the church, distributes grace as he so pleases. You see how this works. God chooses what part of the body that we are. This is according to his good pleasure. And so these are controversial words in this culture of you can do whatever you set your mind to suggest that Jesus Christ in heaven, he is the one that distributes certain giftedness to certain people while giving certain giftedness to others. This could perhaps be offensive to some. And so we are to gladly receive this power and this grace from the Holy Spirit, submit to it, and to obey and serve God within our specific calling. James 3:1 tells us the following. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." And so according to James, thinking of oneself too highly can even be very dangerous. Or maybe we think about the many false teachers that we see in the Old Covenant as well as the New Covenant, or all the false teachers that we witness in the current age that we live. And so this is a relevant teaching. It is a very common problem for people to be puffed up in their ego, and mankind is susceptible to great delusions. And so also, in having high opinions about ourselves, we are susceptible to great humiliations. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, according to Matthew 23, verse 12, the words of Jesus. This happens every single time if you choose the road of lifting yourself up, you will arrive every single time at the destination of humility and destruction. And so what a terrible curse it is to think that you are something when you're not. Not only does this bring personal embarrassment, if not here, then in eternity, it brings shame upon the whole congregation, and many times this is before unbelievers. And sometimes the church contributes to this problem. They make the mistake of telling someone that they can do something contrary to their giftedness. This is a great blunder. Take this example. A foot comes forward and says, "I want to do the work of the eyes." The congregation responds by saying, "You're the best. You can do it. We support you." This activity just impaired the body of Christ due to a lack of spiritual discernment and boldness to speak the truth. This happens all the time. In Revelation 2, Jesus commends the church of Ephesus for testing those who claimed to be apostles and were not. Let me read in Revelation 2, beginning in verse 2. "I know your works, your toil and patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false." If this church that we read about in the Bible was required to test those who claimed to be leaders in the church, we are required to do that very same thing today. And just consider with me the grave consequences that would result if we do not apply these checks and balances to those who would assume leadership in the body of Christ. Still further, the church often is in error as it relates to this high-mindedness. It is, in some ways, a perfect storm because you have this individual who is struggling with pride and ego. They think that they're something that they're not. And then you have a collective body who at the same time is feeding into this, giving this person praise, and it makes the problem worse. It's a dysfunctional relationship. And so the result is that we create egotistical monsters. There are plenty of these types of people within the church. This is simply true. There are plenty of congregations that give honor to ungodly men. Their praise sends their ego to the moon. And so we are not just talking about false teachers this morning, but also there are those who are on a more sincere level. They're simply confused as to their true calling and their purpose and their giftedness within the body of Christ. And this can be one of the most discouraging and hopeless situations, because here you have individuals who are seeking to defy nature in a sense. They are attempting to do what they do not have the grace to do. It's like a fish out of water in every sense of the expression. And so this may even lead this individual into a deep faith struggle. Consider now as we continue reading in Romans 12, verse 4. "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one body, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so God has created the world with order. He has created men, and he has created women, and he has given them distinctive roles. He has created the institution of the family, a husband and a wife and children, and each member within this institution are to submit to God's will for their individual callings. I want to make it clear that the Bible is not saying that there are some that are important and some that are unimportant, but rather the Bible is teaching that there are different members of the church that are given varied grace. That is, he is given the Holy Spirit. He is given specific spiritual blessings that differ from the different members of the church. David says these beautiful words in Psalm 139, verse 13. He says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." Rest in this wonderful thought, Christian, that God has fearfully and wonderfully created us. He has made us in such a way. He has given us both natural abilities and spiritual abilities, and they are designed to fulfill the will of King Jesus, who gave them, and to fulfill a specific and unique function in the body of Christ, which makes up the whole. This is a very encouraging thought. Consider Michael Jordan, who was at one time the world's best basketball player. And so within the world of sports, he found his specialty. He found his niche. And so Michael Jordan was not a golfer. We don't want Michael Jordan to be making those long putts for us. We don't want to rely on that. He was not a football player. And he was not a baseball player, but he was a basketball player and the world's best at that. Jordan, at one time, he attempted to play baseball, and he was unsuccessful, and he was frustrated. This is what happens when we misunderstand our calling. I want to give you this morning a specific example from Scripture where the early church had to apply spiritual wisdom and discernment as it relates to the order and the function of the body of Christ, and they had to distinguish between different callings and different roles within the body. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I'd like to read that for us. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 4. "Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. How easy it would have been for the apostles to fall into this snare, to have taken over the serving and the waiting of tables and brought ruin to the church. And so consider that according to Jesus, the greatest among you is the one that serves. How easy it would have been for the devil to twist these words and to get the apostles to begin to divert their ministry from prayer and from the Word and to begin to perform this wonderful Christian service of serving. And so, did you know that according to Scripture, we can overcommit ourselves even with good things, thus neglecting our specific calling? Not only can you become overwhelmed by the cares of this world, but it is possible to be distracted by the affairs of the church. If the apostles had not been sensitive to their divine calling, the church would have been thrown into out of divine order. If the apostles had lacked discernment in this place, the church would have surely lost power and effectiveness. The work of the body would have been hindered. The purpose of the church would have been frustrated. The church would have began to limp. Thankfully, by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the apostles identified the problem and quickly solved it. Many times we're not as quick to find the problems, nor do we have the boldness to make the necessary changes. The future of the church is dependent upon such actions. The importance of this text cannot properly be expressed. The apostles understood that all of their being had to be focused upon the specialized service of prayer and the ministry of the Word. This is a life-changing scripture. It calls us to consider our individual giftedness and the need to identify that and to not be taken away or distracted even by good things, but to apply ourselves to that ministry with all of our being. And so I want to put this forward this morning, this question. How do we determine our giftedness? How do we determine what part of the body we are? I think there's many things to consider. There's providential circumstances. We can consider where God has placed us as to what He wants us to do. Also, I think it's very clear in a biblical concept to consider that the Holy Spirit will put natural inclinations within our heart. He's going to put desires within us. For instance, Nehemiah, he had a burden from God that he was to rebuild Jerusalem. And he was faithful and he was single-minded and he was focused in order to carry out this function. And so the same God that gave Nehemiah desires, He's the same God that gave him both the power to fulfill this, this calling, and He's also the same God that places desires within our hearts today. And so some have great potential in the church, but they need to be nurtured. They need to reach maturity. They will need encouragement along the way. Very importantly, you'll notice that Moses didn't think that he had the ability to serve God properly. And so on one hand, you have people that think that they can do things that God does not have the will or the intention for them to do those things. And then on the other hand, you have people that are weak and God desires to call the weak and to empower them to do mighty things for them. And so we have to have wisdom and discernment to judge between those two things. And so for Moses, it took him 40 years to determine his calling and to understand that God was going to choose this weak individual and to give him power to save the nation of Israel. Gideon had this same struggle. He was weak and he had inability, but his calling, God had chosen for him to deliver the people of Israel out of the dark oppression that they found themselves in. And also, as we try to answer this question, how do we determine what God's will is for our life? How do we determine what member of the body of Christ we are? I think there's no better place than to just look up a few verses from where we started this morning in Romans 12, 1 through 2, where we read, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And so this morning, there are some who are frustrated because you're having trouble seeing your calling. As we mentioned earlier, it took Moses a while to figure out what God was doing in his life, what he was being prepared for. And I would appeal to you to, with your whole being, seek God through the principles listed in Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2. There are some who are discouraged because they're doing things in the kingdom of God that are taking away from their true calling. They are waiting on tables, so to speak, when they should be devoted to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And so this is a specific example using the apostles, but this could apply to any member in the body of Christ. When we are being pulled away from the reason and the purpose and our true spiritual giftedness, there's nothing worse than this. For instance, a mother who is called to give herself to her children, if she is pulled away from this, how miserable that is for this mother who knows that God has called her to pour herself into her children. It's no fun to be a Jonah. It's no fun to run from God. There are some who, although they know God's call for their life, they refuse to submit to it. They would rather serve God in a different way. They will not find true peace with God until they submit to the head of the body of Christ and to the specific grace and to the measure of faith that they have been assigned. There are still others who are offended, maybe by other members in the body, and they refuse to fulfill their function. They suffer, and the body suffers, and the cause of Christ suffers as well. And so this morning, I hope that you will take these words. I hope that you will take encouragement that we have a living Savior in heaven who is a rich and mighty conquering King, who lavishes grace and spiritual power upon His church. In this assembly this morning, the Lord has poured out a variety of grace in the Main Street Church of Christ, and I hope that you will, with joy, seek to better understand that and to submit to that with joy and to apply yourself with all your heart. And if we do that, there is nothing that we cannot accomplish, and we will grow and thrive. We will strive as one man in order to advance the glorious works of Jesus Christ here on this earth. And maybe this morning you have never received the grace of God to begin with. Let me direct your eyes to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who is God's Son, who was sent to this world to reveal to us who God is through His teachings and through His lifestyle. He laid His life down as an atoning sacrifice. He died in our place for all the rebellion, all the sin, all the lawless things that we have done, and we are to look upon Him. We are to receive Him in faith. We are to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We are to repent. We are to turn away from our wicked ways and submit ourselves to Christ through baptism, having our sins washed away, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then serving Him from this day until we meet Him again. If this is your desire, I would appeal to you to come forward this morning. We can do that today. If there are any other prayers of the church, I hope that you would come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to You now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to You now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally. Go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
We